have a drummer you don't hear and you can't see. So if I look upbeat to you, well, the problem must be you.
Hey guys, welcome to Life Rhythms Radio Show. I'm so excited for today. I'm your host, DJ producer Ryan Sky. Life Rhythms is a radio show that revolves around my personal growth journey. As a songwriter and music producer, I spend most of my time observing the world around me and trying to make sense of it all. I do it through music, but now I'm doing it through my radio show. Every episode of Life Rhythms revolves around a personal growth topic. And the topic of today's episode is all about having the courage to follow your heart. What does that mean? What kind of effect does that have on you? How did I come up with that? What was the inspiration behind it? Well, it actually all stems from a 2005 Stanford commencement speech by Steve Jobs, where he talks about connecting the dots, looking backward. But we'll get into all that in a second. What I'm really excited about, I want to introduce my guest for today. I have a very special guest, the gorgeous, the intelligent, the beautiful. Her name is Julia Lee. Hi, Julia.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really so excited to do this.
You're excited. I'm excited too. You guys, Julia is a model for Wilhelmina, and she has done work for MAC and Shiseido, Bulgari. Isabel Moran. She's been all over the world. And the reason why I have Julia on the show today is because we're talking about having the courage to follow your heart. As a model, Julia's had the path or the journey of her career has been maybe a little bit unconventional for a model. Models usually start very young, and there's kind of like a certain formula that tends to lead to success. And Julia has kind of bucked the trend. She's had a lot of success, and she did it by following her heart in moments where maybe the industry or people were telling her not to do it, or she can, or she's too this or too that. And she followed her heart anyways and found success in the industry. And that was very inspiring to me. And I'm listening to this commencement speech by Steve Jobs. And in the speech, he talks about, Steve says, you cannot connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. And so you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever, because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you the confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you off the well-worn path. That's part of the Steve Jobs. I love that. And then I was listening to this song, which actually you heard coming into this episode. You heard a little clip of the song. The song is called Do My Thing by Estelle. And I love that song. I thought, oh, I have to choose this for this episode, because in the song, she says, you don't know where I am going, so you think I am lost, which I love that. Just because someone doesn't understand where you're at, right, doesn't mean that you're not on the right path. And then Estelle says, I ain't on your page. Okay, so to you, that means I'm off. So I'm not doing what you think I should be doing, therefore you think I'm off track, right? Thought that was very poignant. I want to get into this further. When we get back, we're going to take a short break. Got Julia, and also very excited, special. I've got my co-host today, Scott Waldman. He's going to be joining us. Hey, Scott.
I've been quiet.
Dun dun dun. Scott Waldman. Scott is my manager and my co-host. He's also going to be on the show too. So excited to have the both of you. So yeah, we'll have Scott. We've got Julia when we get back, and we'll dive into the song and into Julia's career and talk about how following your heart can lead to great things in your life. We'll be right back after this short break. Hey guys, welcome back to Life Rhythms Radio Show. I am your host, DJ producer Ryan Sky. I've got my manager and co-host with me today, Scott Waldman.
Hey, 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 I'm back, bitches.
What's up? Hey, Scott. Excited to have you on the show. And we also have joining us today, Wilhelmina model, Julia Lee.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey, Julia, thanks for joining us today.
Yay.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited about this.
Good. Me too. So for those of you who are just joining us, we are going to be talking about today about having the courage to follow your heart. What does that mean? Well, just to give you a perspective, the song you listened to when we came into this segment is a song called Do My Thing by Estelle. And I love the lyrics when she says, when I dance, I dance to the beat of a drummer you don't hear and you can't see. So if I look off beat to you, well, the problem must be you, not me. Mic drop. Boo. Love that lyric. Yeah, so she's talking about following your heart and not being too worried about what people around you. You know, people, everybody has in mind of like who you should be, what you should do, what path you should go on. And the reason why I wanted to have Julia on today's episode is because I know Julia's story in the modeling industry and what she's gone through. And she's kind of like bucked the trend in terms of how you have managed to find success in the industry when you didn't really follow the path of say a typical stereotype of when a model should join and kind of like the steps he or she takes to find success and when the careers typically tend to be over.
Every model was just discovered at a shopping mall. That's what I heard about every single model I've ever, you know, read about. It's just like, oh, I was walking around a shopping mall, note found.
Well, actually, that's funny you say that because, Julia, how did you get discovered?
So I was actually working at the Abercrombie at my mall. And what? I was,
yeah,
I was like working there and this lady walked by and she was like, have you ever thought about modeling? And I was like, no. And she's like, well, you should come try out for Philly Fashion Week. Come to Bloomingdale's like after work and try out. So I went. And then they called me and they were like, yeah, you made it. We want you to come to Philly Fashion Week because, you know, we only picked 10 girls. So I was really excited. And I went downstairs and I told my mom and she was like, no way, you're not doing it. There's no way you're doing it. And I was like, why not? And she's like, because, you know, I got asked to be a model when I was your age and it's a lot of sex and drugs and it's just not something that you're going to do. And I was like, what? So then I just became really curious about it.
Because you weren't allowed to do
drugs or being the model.
Yeah. let me go back.
In the drugs.
I wasn't allowed to do it. And I was, you know, going to college and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And I didn't really have it in my heart to be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, and that's what my parents wanted me to be. So I didn't do it. I like listened to my mom, but then I thought about it all year and I was like, what is this modeling? I looked on the internet. I was like, modeling. Oh, this is really cool. This is something that I could like do because I really like fashion and I like clothes. So, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. So then the next year I tried out again and then they called me and said, you made it. 10 girls we picked. You're one of them. So I was in school at the time. I was at Penn State in like central Pennsylvania and I took a bus and I stayed with my girlfriend who went to Temple and I didn't tell my parents. And I did the fashion show and it was like a great experience. It was such a rush and it was so much fun and I loved doing it. And then that summer, my neighbor is a makeup artist. So my mom was going for a walk. She talks to my mom and she's like, oh, I saw Julia at Philly Fashion Week. And my mom's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? No, you didn't. She was up at Penn State. And she's like, no, I definitely saw Julia. That was her. So my mom came home from her walk and I was busted.
I swear I didn't know that you were discovered at a mall. I did not know that. This is very just anytime you see like a Cindy Crawford or like a Tyra Banks on television, it's like, yeah, I was walking around the mall with my mom and a scout found me. And I'm thinking, that's never happened to me.
How old were you when you started? How old were you when you started?
So that was, I was 18. Yeah, I was 18.
You were 18? Mm-hmm. And was that, and then, but you said you let a year go by. It was 18 was when you started it out, when you tried it out?
So yeah, I tried it out for the first time at 18. I was at Penn State originally. Like it had always been my dream to live in California since I was a kid. I just thought that that was like the place that I should be. So I got into USC and I was so excited. And again, my mom was just like, no, you're not going. And I was like, why? Because basically they thought it was too far for me. They thought if I went to California, I would never come back to the East Coast. So my mom was like, you can go to Penn State. And if you go to Penn State, we'll let you study abroad. So I was able to study abroad in Milan. I went to Italy. And when I was there, I stayed there for the summer. I got an internship so I could stay there. And then I signed with a modeling agency out there. So I did the fashion show at 18. And then I went to Milan like when I was studying abroad too. Right. And then that's kind of like how it became more serious. I was with an agency and, you know, right. doing things.
And interesting, you originally did, you've applied and tried out for Wilhelmina before, right? And didn't hear back or didn't get signed with them for a while. And so you were with a different agency, right?
Yeah. So I had like gone to like open calls for Wilhelmina, and I just, you know, it just wasn't, it never like worked for me. But now I'm with them and it's great. I love them. My agents are great. And it's been great.
And for those of you who are listening in, I'm not sure about Wilhelmina, it's a modeling agency and talent agency. It's headquartered in New York City, and it represents and manages 2,100 models, celebrities, artists, athletes, content creators, including Nicki Minaj, Nick Jonas, Shawn Mendes, Billie Eilish, many others. It's up there with Forbes models. And this was on your wish list, right, Julia, from when you entered the industry?
Yeah. So I wanted to be with like one of the top agencies, and and then I ended up signing recently, actually about a year ago. I remember I was with you the week that I got signed. I came to your house to actually scan my contract and send it back.
I remember.
So.
Yeah, which was really exciting and interesting because this was years after you started. When you first entered the modeling industry, right away, like what you were starting to get feedback about, like the way you looked and your skin, and like what were some of the things that you faced right away when you entered the industry?
So after I was in Milan, I went to New York. I got a mother agent there, and I signed with this agency. And I had acne. I had like adult acne, basically. I never had acne as a teenager, but then like later, like in my early 20s, I got acne, and the agency that I signed with, they ended up letting me go because I wasn't able to clear up my skin. So that was something that I had battled with for a while. You know, just not being able to clear my skin and obsessing over it. And, you know, I had like social anxiety because I would go out and I would think that everyone was just like looking at the pimples on my face. So that was like definitely a challenging time for me. And then I signed with a different agency in New York. I went back to Milan, came back to New York, met this guy who I ended up dating for quite a while. We were dating for 4 years. And then I, you know, something inside me, a lot of things had happened basically where I ended up, you know, signing with an agency in New York, and that's where I am now. And I ended up at Wilhelmina.
Right. Okay. What were some of the thoughts that ran through your head when you were starting to get feedback about your acne? Like, was that something you were insecure about, and were you thinking maybe this industry wasn't for you, or were you like gung-ho trying to resolve it? Or was it a surprise that you weren't expecting something like that?
I mean, I knew my skin was pretty bad, and it was tough because I didn't really know how to handle it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to get on birth control right away just because I believe in more of a natural way of healing your body. So I was trying to, you know, change my diet. This guy I was dating said I had a leaky gut. So I was like,
wait, what's a leaky gut?
A leaky gut is when your gut is like, it's leaky, you know, like,
I don't understand it. My gut does not emanate liquid.
So basically a leaky gut is like when your body is just imbalanced on the inside and it's not, you know, your body's not functioning properly. You know, maybe you're not getting enough probiotics, maybe certain foods that you're eating aren't digesting properly. So he was telling me, you know, go gluten-free, eat all these herbs. You know, so I was trying everything. I literally tried everything to get rid of my acne. Yeah.
And then eventually what happened? The agency, did they drop you that you were with?
Yeah. So the first agency that I was with in New York, they ended up dropping me, and I was kind of able to like maintain my skin to the point where like, I could maintain it, but it wasn't like flawless, you know? So I was with another agency in New York, and, you know, a lot of times, like, my bookers or clients would be like, well, what happened to your skin? And that would be really like nerve wracking for me, because I would just get so anxious, like walking into a casting and have to explain myself every time. And I think it was like hormonal. Part of it was stress, just like living in the city. And I mean, to be honest, I probably wasn't like taking care of myself the way I should have been taking care of myself, you know? So, it was tough.
Did that experience build your confidence, or did it chip away at it at the time going through
that? At the time, it chipped away at it for sure. Like, I was just like, there were moments where I would not even want to like socialize with friends because I was so paranoid that, like, you know, oh, my acne, like they're just going to be staring at my acne. They're not even going to be listening to what I'm saying. Like, it's just,
and that's all you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm. And it was
I was going to say, looking back on some of the photos of that time period, was your acne as bad as you thought it was at the time? Was it in your head, or was it amplified because of the industry?
It was her face. It wasn't in her head.
It was on her head.
Yeah, it was living and growing on my face and just manifesting into more. No, I'm joking. But I mean, at the time, it seemed like such a big deal. But when I look back, I look back at pictures, I'm just like, my acne wasn't that bad. Like, it was, I definitely had like pimples and stuff, but I think for the modeling industry, there's certain expectations for how your skin should look. And that's kind of, I guess, to be honest, in the modeling industry, for modeling industry standards, it was not clear.
Okay.
But for like day to day, like, oh, you're fine, you know?
Yes. So you get signed, you're really excited, but then you have this experience of these expectations about the way you look and your skin. And what about being Asian? How did that play into casting? And did you experience any bias with that, or did that help you get extra casting that maybe you wouldn't have gotten booked for?
So I'm half Chinese, half Vietnamese. I grew up outside of Philadelphia. So sometimes clients really wanted someone that was full Chinese, full Korean. And sometimes, you know, I would get told, like, you're not Asian enough. You know, people have told me, Julia, you sound like a blonde person stuck inside an Asian body, or you're a Yankee. Like, they tell me I'm very American. So that was something that I really battled with, because I was like, I'm not Asian enough. Like, what? Like, oh, my gosh, like, how am I not Asian enough? And, you know, I would do certain things to kind of like try and be more Asian, like, you know, tell them I could speak Chinese and things like that. I remember one time on set, I was in Italy, I was doing a photo shoot, and the photographer asked me to squint my eyes a little bit more. So that was a little bit,
that's kind of messed up. Overtly racist.
Yeah. It was messed up, but, you know, like, I guess those are things that I've experienced, being an Asian in the industry, just feeling like, you know, sometimes you're not good enough, or you're not what they're looking for. At that time in my life, I think it was really hard for me because I didn't really understand who I was either. So.
Sounds like it would have been challenging. You're entering into this industry you're excited about, but then at the same time, you haven't signed to the agency you want. And then you're starting to get this feedback, this negative feedback, or you're starting to see, you know, how the industry is challenging in terms of like your appearance, the way they want you to look and what they expect from castings. And then on top of that, you get let go from the agency, which I imagine what was that like? What did you do after you got let go? What were some of the thoughts? How did you feel?
You're from just that? Like, oh man, like why, you know, okay, if I submit to other agencies, will they ask why I got let go from the agency? How do I explain myself? And what if no one at the other agencies want me at this time? What does that mean? How much time do I have to wait before I can like resubmit? Do I need to cut my hair? Do I need to change my look? Like, what is it? Like, what is not working?
Did you question whether you made the right choice of getting in the industry, or was it more of a, I just need to work harder?
I think it was, I just need to work harder. When the agency first let me go. And then I was with another agency. And at that point, I thought, okay, maybe I'm getting too old for this. Maybe I need to go more into commercial modeling and TV show hosting. At that time, I had moved to the West Coast. So I thought, you know, I'm in LA, like I should be doing like TV show hosting. And I was still modeling like part-time, but I wasn't pursuing it full-time. Like, so I was with an agency out there, but I wasn't like as active as I could have been.
And it's because you were questioning whether this was the right move for you and kind of like in this place of, did you feel lost at the time or feel like you didn't fit in?
I just thought like, you know what, this is the next step. Like, okay, I need to go into hosting. I need to go into TV show hosting. My modeling career is like basically like over. I'm like too old.
What is considered too old in modeling?
You know, I think that's, industry has changed. It's changing right now, but before, too old was like if you're 25, you're too old. Like they scout models when they're 16 years old, so they're like, okay, we have 10 years to work this girl in the industry, and then she's gonna retire.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. So
and you hear this all the time, right? You probably hear all the time about the age and the 25. And you sense yourself and you're getting closer to that age and you're thinking to yourself, okay, maybe I need to start thinking of something outside this industry because they're all telling me my career is going to be over.
Pretty much. So I moved to the West Coast. I was in LA. And at that time, yeah, like I did think that my modeling career was over. I was still going back and forth between New York and LA. So I was in New York and I was at this event and one of the cocktail waitresses was this girl that I used to work with. She was also a model. So we had done jobs together.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? It was just kind of like a random, like weird. It was just like, wow, I didn't think that I would like run into you, at this event, like as the cocktail waitress, like, how are you doing? Let's get coffee sometime. And she's like, why did you move to LA? And I was like, I explained to her everything. And she was just like, oh, like, you know, I think she was surprised. She thought I should have stayed in New York. And she was still like trying to like make it big and like, you know, play that game, do the hustle and everything. And then a month later, she actually ended up booking Marc Jacobs and she wow. like her career has like really taken off. So that like really like inspired me because I'm thinking to myself like, yeah, why did I like think that my modeling career was over? Because I was working with her and look at where she is now because she's like still in New York. She's still like hustling, you know, like why did I kind of like fall off the horse a little bit?
And because of that, you decided to get to pursue further because you felt inspired by her.
Yeah. I was like really inspired by her. And I was thinking like, wow, I felt like I had kind of let myself go a little bit. So I was just kind of like questioning. I was in LA. I was doing hosting and I was just feeling lost, to be honest. And my friend at the time, this person I knew in LA was like, you should see the spiritual healer. Like maybe she'll be able to help you a little bit because you seem lost. I'm like, okay. So I never believed in psychics, but my uncle, he reads palms. It's like, he does consulting for companies in Taiwan and he reads palms. And I remember like years ago, he told me he read my palm and he's like, you're going to date a gambler. And I just started laughing.
Really?
Yeah. I started laughing. I was like, what? Like, I'm going to date a guy who pulls slot machines. Cause that's like the only thing I knew of like what a gambler was. That's the only thing I could like associate with a gambler. I was like, how would I like meet a guy? How could I meet a guy who just like sits at the slot machine all the time? Like, I don't understand like how that would like work out like with my life, you know, with where I am in New York. Like, I'm not like around casinos and that kind of stuff. And then years later, the guy that I was dating for a couple of years, he was actually a professional poker player. So like years into the relationship, I was just like, oh, wow. Like my uncle, like what he said was like really true. Like, that's crazy. I probably should like, you know, like, I guess after that, I was kind of like became a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, but I guess, you know, like when spiritual people tell you things, kind of, you know, don't.
Less skeptical.
Yes. Yeah. Less skeptical.
So you were more open to receiving message from this sort of person or medium.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, so fast forward, I'm feeling lost in LA, go to see the spiritual healer. And I'm like, look, I don't really know what to do. I don't know if I should, you know, try modeling and continue with that, or if I should just give it all up. And she's like, don't give it up. She's like, if you give it up, like, no, you're doing the wrong thing. You're going to sign with a big name agency. And I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, you're going to sign with like a Ford or like a Wilhelmina. And I'm like, no way. Like, there's no way I'm going to sign with Wilhelmina or Ford. Like, I've tried so many times, like, it's just not happening. And she's like, just like, you know, try and go to the open call, do what you can to like, just try and get in. So I'm like, okay. So I go to the open call in LA, and I didn't hear back. So I just kind of continued to like do my thing. And
your thing was hosting stuff, right? Hosting and blogging.
Yeah. So I did my thing with hosting and blogging. And then I met, I basically had like a mother agent who helped me sign with in New York, but ultimately I ended up at Wilhelmina, which was just kind of like, what, like, how did that spiritual reader know that I was going to end up at Wilhelmina?
And please tell everyone how it happened, because it happened through your other agency, right?
Yeah. So, basically this makeup artist that I know was like, oh, this mother agent saw your pictures and she said that you would kill it in New York. You would do so well. And, you know, I want to put you in touch with her. So I met with her. I talked to her on the phone a couple times. She set me up with agency appointments in New York. She's my mother agent now, and she's amazing. Her name is Ellen Wasserin, and she's from Philadelphia. She signed me with this agency in New York, and it was like a crazy week for me. This was in April 2019. So I remember I had come home, celebrated my birthday with my family, and then I worked in New York. And then one day when I was working, my agents at my agency emailed us saying, look, the agency is going to shut down. And my booker said, I'm going to Wilhelmina and I'm only taking 10 girls. I want to take you with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so crazy. All this stuff is happening so fast. So then I flew to LA later that week. I met up with you. We actually went hiking. Yeah. And I like scanned my contract at your apartment and sent it back. And then that same week, my father actually had like a massive stroke. So I had to fly back to the East Coast for that. Yeah. Yeah. So it was a crazy week. It was a lot of ups and downs.
That's
When was that? I lost my dad in 2007.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was actually, so he had a stroke last year, April 2019. And, you know, it was a battle. It was a lot of ups and downs. I ended up moving like my stuff back home so I could, you know, help take care of him. And he actually ended up passing away in December. So it was pretty recent.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So in this moment in your life, you're experiencing one of the biggest triumphs with signing to Wilhelmina, but at the same time, you're experiencing this, your dad having a stroke and passing away.
Yeah.
It's crazy that it's happening at the same time. I want to talk more about this. Liz, we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we'll dive into more about, because this is where we start to talk about connecting the dots and kind of how these things have pulled together. So next segment, we'll talk about connecting the dots and following your heart. And we'll get into Julia's story some more when we get back. Hey, welcome back to Life Rhythms Radio Show. I'm your host, DJ producer Ryan Sky. I've got my co-host with me, Scott Waldman, and a very special guest, Julia Lee with Wilhelmina Models. Hi, guys.
Hello.
The song you were listening to on the way into this episode, on the way into this segment, is called "Do My Thing" by Estelle. I love it. She's saying, "I'm gonna do my thing." I'm quoting her. "I'm gonna do my thing. I'm gonna do my thing. Please feel free to hate and complain." I love that attitude. In this episode, we're talking about having the courage to follow your heart, no matter what people around you are saying. And I love that this song, the attitude is just like, "I'm gonna do my thing. And if you don't understand, then that's your problem, not mine." I wrote a quote on today's topic I want to talk about, and then we'll get back into Julia's awesome story about her following her heart and her unconventional way of having success in the modeling industry. The quote I wrote goes like this. It says, "Look back on your life and connect the moments together that lead you to where you are today. You'll often find that these moments appeared unrelated at the time, but later in life proved to be a significant part of your story in ways you could never have imagined. This is an important realization because it will give you the confidence to trust that you can follow your heart, even if it appears to be off the path. You'll sense that there is a bigger destiny at play that you could not know the details of. And so the best thing for you to do is to follow your heart and trust that the rest will connect together for you." That's the quote. Do, 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 do. Yeah, so that's what we're talking about today. If you're just joining us, just to bring you up to speed, Julia is signed to Wilhelmina Models, one of the top modeling agencies in the world. But that wasn't the case when she started her career. She started a little later than which is ideal for a model. At first, you know, she was not signed to the agencies that she wanted to be signed to, and she receives feedback about her looks and, you know, being Asian and just the modeling industry of just how they want you to look a certain way. And eventually she found herself being dropped. Fast forward, she moves to LA and she's kind of questioning where she's going to go with her career, because it didn't work out the way she was thinking it would. And she's kind of like in this in between space, thinking, "I'm getting too old. Maybe my modeling career is over. I should get into hosting. I didn't get signed to where I wanted to get signed." And she's kind of in this place. So where we left off in the last segment, you went to a spiritual healer, yeah, right? For some guidance. What did the spiritual healer say to you?
She told me to stick with modeling, don't give up on it. And she told me that I was going to sign with a big name agency.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were living in LA at the time, and you were doing your thing, right? You had started pursuing the hosting work.
Yeah. I was doing like red carpet interviews. I was doing some hosting for Poker News, interviewing poker players.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when we took our, right before we took our break, we did talk about how you did end up getting signed to Wilhelmina, which was totally a surprise for you how it happened.
Yeah.
Because it was your mother agent, or so it was somebody from your current
agency. Yeah.
Okay.
So she ended up moving to Wilhelmina and she was like, "I want to take you with me."
So she moves to Wilhelmina, takes you with you. Now all of a sudden you find yourself being signed to this dream agency. Yeah. Super exciting. And then was it the next day how soon after did your dad have a stroke?
It was within the same week.
Wow.
My dad had a stroke on a Friday, and I had found out that I signed with Wilhelmina, I think, on like the Saturday before, because I flew to LA that weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was crazy.
How did you feel about that? I mean, what would that have been like? Because you're experiencing one of the biggest highs in your career and also personal lows.
I would say at the time I was just like confused. I was like, "Why is this happening?" 2019 was a really crazy year. Not saying 2020 isn't, because we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah,
But 2019 was pretty crazy. Prior to that, I was going between Vegas, LA, and New York. My apartment in Vegas had flooded, so there was 6 inches of water everywhere.
Wow! And do you see that as a sign that was it trying to move you in a certain direction?
I think so. Like at the time, I didn't understand. I was like, "Why is all this crazy stuff happening?" But now, when I can look back at it, I believe that it had happened for a reason, and that I probably was not meant to be in Las Vegas at that time, that it kind of pulled me away from it.
Was there a flood in Vegas in general, or was this just your apartment?
No, it was like a freak accident in my apartment, sprinkler pipe, 12-inch crack, water just sprayed everywhere. There was 6 inches of water everywhere in our apartment only. It was so random that I was like, there's no way that this could have just, you know, been a coincidence. Like, this happened for a reason. That maybe the universe was telling me I shouldn't be in Vegas right now.
By that time you were in Vegas, you had done hosting work, right?
Yeah.
You were hosting the poker games?
Yeah, I was doing hosting for Poker News, doing some interviewing with the poker players. I was there also with my boyfriend at the time, trying to make it work between, you know, being in Vegas with him and then also having a place in LA. And then we ended up breaking up too, actually, in the beginning of 2019. So the flood happened, my breakup, you know, then I get signed with Wilhelmina, and then my dad had a stroke. So it was just a lot of ups and downs. And I was just like, I had a feeling that 2019 was happening fast. But I couldn't really like process it. I didn't really understand why it was happening so fast.
Okay. So you move from Vegas, yeah. And you moved back home on the East Coast?
I moved to LA. I had a place there, and I was going back and forth between LA and New York. My dad got really sick, and I just decided like I would be a really shitty daughter. Oh, excuse my language. I would be.
You're allowed to curse, and you're allowed to, yeah. Appropriate word. Keep going.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I would be a really shitty daughter if I didn't like move back home and help my dad, you know? So, I did. I moved back home at the end of August, and you know, all my stuff.
Home is Philadelphia, right?
Yeah. Outside that area. Okay. So then I still went to, you know, New York for work, or if I needed to go to LA, just pack a suitcase and go and stay with some friends kind of thing.
So it worked out in the sense that it's interesting that your career brought you to the East Coast and so did your personal life. You're there with your dad, but then you're also in a position where you can work.
Yeah. So I feel like it kind of pulled me. It was telling me like, okay, I should be on the East Coast. You know, Wilhelmina is there. That's where a lot of work is in New York. Like, you know, I felt like the universe kind of pulled me in certain directions through these happenings.
Okay. When you were hosting, what was the experience of that? How was that experience helpful to you booking gigs later on in your career? What was it like as a host on the poker games? I imagine you're in a room with all these guys,
yeah.
And you're hosting, right? And so everyone's looking at you. What was that like?
It was definitely a different environment than the modeling world. You know, you just have a room full of guys just kind of staring at you and hosting.
I'm used to it.
No, I mean, okay, interviewing a poker player versus like an actor on the red carpet is totally different. Like the poker player is not going to want to give you any info. So it's just kind of awkward sometimes. But I would say that hosting definitely gave me more confidence, helped me to just like accept the fact that not everyone's going to say positive things about you, which I wasn't able to accept before when I first started modeling in New York.
Right. We talked about this. You had, tell people about the trolls, what that was like.
Yeah. So first day that I'm, you know, working for Poker News, my boss, she's like the producer. She tells me, all right, don't let the comments get to you. I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? She's like, people are going to say mean things. You just have to ignore it. And I'm like, okay, like I can ignore it. Like, that's fine. She's like, no, people say mean things. They say like, oh, this girl looked like she got hit in the face with a frying pan. Like all these mean things. Yeah. So I remember I had posted a few of my interviews up and people started trolling. People were saying like mean things like, oh, this girl looks like a trans and like, you know, she doesn't know what she's talking about, blah, blah, blah. So that like having to deal with trolling for the first time was like an experience. But I think it definitely helps me now when I'm modeling in New York and just knowing like, okay, like it's not really you. It could be just something else. You know, don't take everything so personally.
I think trolls kind of flock to people who have the courage to follow their hearts.
I agree with that. You represent to them where they fall short.
I mean, it's
kind of proof to them that they are letting themselves down because you're doing something that they don't have the courage to do.
the most successful people in the world have haters, and the people that do like the greatest thing of all time are going to have at least someone in, you know, I know I'm wearing a sweatband on my head, but someone wearing a sweatband who does absolutely nothing at home. So like, yeah, that shit sucks.
Hmm. So, that's an interesting point. Yeah. It's like you're triggering them.
Yep. Anyway. And I also,
I also wanted to get to the theme of your show. I don't like you. Yeah. You're stupid.
Is that how trolls talk? Can they send voice messages?
They all talk like this. Why are you not listening?
Oh my god.
That must have been so weird getting trolled. And then you go back into the modeling industry, whereas you may have gotten critiques before, but people weren't like actively trolling you online. No. But now, right?
No.
But then,
yeah.
So was your confidence, did you have like a thicker skin after the hosting thing, or you kind of had like a perspective that, oh, this is not about me, it's about the troll?
No, for sure. I definitely had a different perspective. And just talking to other girls too, like, you know, just modeling is a very competitive industry, and sometimes girls don't like each other, you know, because you're competing for the same job. But over time I was able to, you know, make friends and, you know, talk to those girls about certain things and realize like, oh my gosh, you're experiencing that too. Like, oh, I thought it was just me, and being able to relate and understanding that it's not about you. Like this one girl told me that she went to a casting and the client was like, we loved you, but we only had a size 8 shoe and you're a size 10. So we couldn't book you. So like,
wow.
I used to get so hung up on castings thinking like, oh, like, do they like me? Did I not like make the casting? What is it about me? But it's like, it could be something so little, like your foot not fitting the shoe, that is like so out of your control. So I think I was just
so many variables
better. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So many variables. Interesting. So you find yourself back on the East Coast and you're taking care of your dad. You're spending time with your dad and you're booking gigs with Wilhelmina. I'm curious, what are some memorable moments you've had modeling? Do you have like, could you give us two moments that we would find interesting or entertaining?
Yeah. I would say my most memorable moment was, I was in Milan and I modeled for Bulgari. So my agent was like, yeah, you have to go down to Rome. There's an event and they want you. So I took a train down to Rome. It was me and two other girls from the agency. And we were in this like beautiful, we were like amongst the Roman ruins. It was like a dream. And they put this Serpentine collection on me. So it's one of their nicest collections. And I was literally wearing a bracelet and a necklace that was worth 300,000 euro. Yeah. And I had a bodyguard, but the bodyguard was not for me. It was for the jewelry.
Yeah. It's not for you. They're making sure the jewelry is safe.
Yeah. So I was like, I wasn't allowed to get too close to the balcony. But that was definitely a surreal moment where it was just like, wow, what a rush. Like, what a good feeling to be doing this. My second memorable modeling moment, I was in LA. So I was like still part-time modeling in LA. This designer's like, we're doing this shoot just come show up. I'm like, okay. So I show up and it's for this like swimsuit line. So I show up, what the idea was, they wanted two girls and one guy. I have no idea who's going to show like be on set. So I walk in and the guy is my sister's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whole world.
Interesting. Right?
So, okay. They were like dating when she went to University of Pittsburgh, like years ago. And
Pittsburgh. I'm from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, let's call him John. I'm like, John, what are you doing here? He's like, Julia, oh my God. So I'm doing this photo shoot with my sister's ex-boyfriend and the like photographer's like, all right, you know, just pretend to like seduce him. You see him across the room.
Oh, and like, weird.
I can't believe that like, this is happening. And my sister was getting married that year. So like a week later, I flew home for her bridal shower. And I was like, you'll never believe like who I just did a photo shoot with. And I was supposed to fight over him with another girl. Like it was crazy.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
So unexpected. Have you did you book any gigs? Did the hosting help you whenever you went to do Wilmina, like in terms of gigs that you that you booked?
Yeah, I would say, I think honestly, like, although I, you know, moving to LA was this whole journey, and you know, I'd always wondered like, what if I just stayed in New York, and I should have just stayed in New York and worked, like, what was I, you know, was I making the right decision? Ultimately, it really did help me because I was able to get new perspective. I was able to meet new people, experience and learn new things. And with the hosting, you know, that helped me build like a special skill set, I guess, that I wouldn't have gotten if I was just modeling. And yeah, I actually, so my most recent job before the shelter in place happened was a job with Shiseido, and it was these makeup videos.
Okay.
And they said they booked me because they had looked at my blog and they had looked at my social media and they loved like everything that I was doing. So in turn, that had helped me when I actually went to the casting and they were like, you know, pretend to do makeup in front of the video. So I'm like, okay. And I pull off the lipstick and the lipstick cap like flew across the room and I was so embarrassed. And I was like, okay, like, I guess that one is probably not going to work out. And then my agent called me a week later. She's like, they want to work with you. Like, you know, you're booked this day. So,
oh wow,
yeah, just not overthinking it, I guess, is also another thing I learned to do.
And I noticed that you follow your gut a lot, even in moments where you're kind of questioning.
That leaks.
Your leaky gut. You trusted it.
It's not leaky anymore, guys. I fixed it. My skin is better.
What's the solution to a leaky gut? How do you resolve it?
Have someone underneath your gut with their mouth open at all times.
Ew.
That might have been the weirdest thing I've ever said.
Anyway. Did they bring like a bucket or I don't even know. Yeah, I would say... Wait, seriously? Serious question? Solution to a leaky gut?
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious.
Proper diet. Self-care, honestly. Taking care of yourself the right way. Making sure that you are taking care of your body. Like, mind, body, soul. It's real. I've seen it with my dad when he was in a stroke. Like, you know, you really do need to take care of your body. Whether that's getting rest, eating properly, you know, not getting stressed, working on your stress, you know, being able to like meditate and control your emotions, not overreact too much. It's a lot of things.
Okay. So it's diet and it's also mental.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it bloating? Is that part of the leaky gut? Is that like, do you have to watch about water or salt intake or intermittent fasting? Is that all, any of that have an effect on your leaky gut?
No, I think that's separate. I think
that's separate.
Yeah. That's more okay. Diet.
That's more diet.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. Okay. Interesting. I was watching the documentary last night with Hillary Clinton on Hulu.
Oh,
and it was, have you seen it?
That.
And it's interesting. I'm watching it's a 4-part series and I'm watching her career and everything she's gone through. And it got me thinking because I thought, wow, like she has been through so much, so many people attacking her, so many scandals. So she's had to overcome so much throughout her career and she kept going back and going back and going back. And I was thinking about myself, if I were in her shoes, imagining myself going through these different moments thinking, because I also find myself in my own life, personal life and career, you know, I have moments where I, like you felt in LA, where I was also, you know, there's moments where I feel lost or I'm questioning, am I supposed to be doing this? Maybe I run into like a roadblock. And sometimes I'll think to myself, is this a sign that I'm not supposed to be doing this? Mm. And I'm thinking about Hillary and all the roadblocks that she ran into. And she never thought to herself, I mean, life has been so hard for her, right? And you could take that as a sign of like, maybe I'm swimming upstream. Maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. Am I supposed to be going in another direction? Because I keep running into these crazy scandals and roadblocks and all this stuff. And yet she persevered and was able to push forward women's rights. And she was a feminist and she was the first, you know, woman, first lady to run for office and be the candidate. And she did all of these things that were groundbreaking. And, You know, I don't know. I guess I just wonder, how do we know? Because when talking to you about your story, when there were times where you were lost, you also were looking for signs and answers. You were thinking about, you know, you went to see a spiritual, is it a guide? Spiritual guide?
Yeah, or, spiritual guide, spiritual healer.
Spiritual healer. And you're kind of looking at what's happening in your life with your apartment getting flooded. You know, your dad getting sick, and should I go home? Should I stay on the West Coast? Coincidentally, you know, the coronavirus happens and you're already home, sheltered in place.
Yeah.
You kind of followed the flow. You found yourself home. You're able to be with your dad. And then also, thank goodness you're there now with your mom and you're able to shelter in place.
Yeah.
It kind of all worked out. I don't know. I'm like you, I guess. I am always looking for signs, and I'm always trying to listen to my gut. And it's like trying to find a balance of, is this a sign I'm not supposed to be doing this? Or is this just a moment that's going to make me stronger to go for this? Right. I mean, can you relate to that?
Totally. I mean, I would say I'm a pretty spiritual person. And I believe that things do happen for a reason. I think that people have their life purpose, or they're meant to learn certain things during their time on Earth. And if you don't learn it through like the first experience, the universe is going to give you another experience to learn it until, and it's going to keep on repeating until you learn it. So yeah, I guess certain things, certain people have a purpose, and you know, if you don't live it out, like, you know, life will happen in a certain way where you do eventually learn it. I remember having to make decisions in 2019 where I was like, I don't really know what to do. And they were like major life decisions.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. And I remember people being like, follow your gut, follow your gut. And I'm like, I don't know what that really means. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. My gut is confused. Like, it's leaky. Guys, come on.
That joke again.
Yeah.
I feel like that's my role in this episode of the show. So I'll shut up.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I think it's something that I still am like learning to do and figuring out. Yeah. I don't know if I answered your question.
I don't know if there's an answer to my question. It's kind of a rhetorical question. You know, the topic of this episode is about having the courage to follow your heart. I opened up with talking about Steve Jobs, and his commencement speech was very inspiring to me because I quoted a little bit of it. He's talking about how you cannot connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. One of the things he says in his speech is he says, what seems like bitter anguish and defeat in the moment, for example, getting dumped by a girlfriend, not getting that job at McKinsey or Big Four, wasting, quote unquote, 4 years of your life in engineering or on a startup that didn't pan out as you wanted, that can turn out to sow the seeds of your unimaginable success years from now. In his commencement speech, he talks about how he dropped out of college. And his parents were not happy about it. He realized that it wasn't something he wanted to do. So he dropped out. And since he had dropped out, he was actually able to take a calligraphy class. And he would not have been able to take the class if he was still in school, because he would have had to have taken these other specific courses. But since he dropped out, he could take anything he wanted. And he was just interested in calligraphy. And so he takes his class. And at the time, he really, you know, he felt this has no practical use in my life now and forever. Why do I need to know about calligraphy? I don't know. I'm interested in it. So I'm just going to take the class. He takes a class, learns about typography and the beauty of it, the spacing and the lines and the structure and the importance of how it communicates and all that stuff. And then he takes a class. And then 10 years later, he finds himself designing the Mac. And he ends up applying things that he's learned in that class. He's applying it to the first personal computer. And he says that had he not taken that typography class, we would not have different fonts today. And we wouldn't have the beauty of the operating system, because he learned so much about the beauty of text and font and stuff from that class. So it totally changed the world. But when he took the class, he had no idea what the application was. But the I guess the take home is that it was something he was interested in the moment, and he just followed his heart and he just took it, trusting that somehow it's going to help in my future, in my path. I don't know how, but you know, it's going to help. And when I was listening to your story and, you know, I was listening to you talk about how it wasn't working out for you the way you thought at first, you didn't get the agency you wanted and you're getting all this criticism and then you get dropped. That could have been a moment to quit. And, you had an interest in hosting. And so you thought, you know what, I'm just going to go with it. I don't know if the modeling thing's going to happen anymore. So this interests me. So you start the hosting and you gain all that experience. And then next thing you know, because of it, you end up getting signed to Wilhelmina and you're booking gigs because of the hosting work. And you're doing some, booking some talent, booking some projects that you haven't, maybe these are some of the biggest projects that you've booked, right?
Like things are just like going in an upward direction. And I think it's because I was able to like bring more to the table than just, you know, a face, you know, it was like, I can do hosting. And, you know, I do believe what you said, like looking back, like certain things don't make sense at the time, but you know, if I had gone to USC instead of Penn State, I probably would have never gotten into modeling because I wouldn't have been able to do the Philly Fashion Week. And I'd be in California, which would be great, but I wouldn't be in the industry. And if I had never gone to LA, I probably would have continued to model in New York, but I don't think I would have been able to get to like the next level. You know, I probably would have just coasted, but I wouldn't have been able to like do more with modeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Wow. Well, Scott, do you have anything you want to add? We're coming to the end of the segment.
Yeah, I mean, I can just say that we obviously have different careers, all of us, but similar in that I guess it's in arts and entertainment. But I was told so many times how dumb of a decision it was from haters, you know, to move to LA to pursue music. I went to the University of Michigan, I got my English degree, and I did it. And within a year and 3 months, I signed a major label deal. So, you know, if you're expecting me to give you an apology for being nothing that you used to, well, go on right ahead and wait.
You're quoting the song, yeah?
I am not quoting myself.
You're not quoting the song?
No, I'm not quoting myself. I'm quoting Estelle and Janelle Monáe.
Do My Thing, yeah, the song we chose for today. Cool. Well, it's been awesome having you on, Julia. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I had an awesome time talking with you guys.
I'm glad that we did this, and I appreciate you and your time, and I'm glad that your gut has improved.
I'm going to send you guys some like leaky gut probiotics or something.
Okay. I started taking them.
That, but don't use those words unless you want me to vomit all over my phone.
Leaky gut.
Just vomit into the river in San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco, guys. Woo!
Julia, for the listeners that would love to connect with you on social media, can you give them your info?
Yeah, it's you can follow me on Instagram at ITS Julia Lee. It's Julia Lee.
L-E-E?
Yeah, L-E-E. So ITSJULIALEE. Those are all my handles for Twitter, Facebook page. I have a website, julialee.com, and I just started a YouTube page. So you can find some cool videos there.
Awesome. We will check that out. And Scott, your socials.
On Instagram, it's Scott Lewis Waldman. On Twitter, it's Lido Beach. On Facebook, it's just me, Scott Waldman. And you could check out my show, Waldman's Words, every single Tuesday night at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Awesome. Awesome. And you guys can find me online, Ryan Sky, RyanSkyy, on all the social platforms. That's it for today, folks. Life Rhythms Radio Show. Thank you for listening, checking us out. Every episode is about a different personal growth topic. We have special guests like Julia, and we love to have you. Please check out our other episodes online, and we will see you next time at Life Rhythms. Take care.